I don't want you to be a ball that I just bounce off of to get to another ball.
What? Wait, just stop. Listen, you don't get to give a speech this time, okay? It's my turn.
Okay.
Look, I have spent years of my life praying that you would grow up. But now here you are, 20 years later, and you're finally the man that I always knew you possibly could be. At first, I didn't believe it, that we could finally be at the right place at the right time. You know? And that I would finally be the best version of myself. But I am. And you are. And I don't know, I freaked out. I freaked out last night because I don't want us to fall back into the old versions of ourselves. You know? I need you to love me for the woman that I am now. Not the woman that I was. Because you're not the man that you were. And I want to fall in love with the man that you've become.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome back to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to the show This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's have a good cry. Hi, everybody. How's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. And, oh, the sentimentality of this episode. I don't know, Mary.
Even warmed your cold heart.
Oh, it did.
Your Sophie ice cold, never over my dead body cold heart.
I was firmly Team Cassidy, and I'm happy to announce that I was wrong. Very happy to announce that I was wrong. I thought that Cassidy was going to be the thing. But, you know, as the show, I think, was always telling us, probably from the beginning, that regardless of wherever Kevin goes, it's always going to be Sophie. And it always has been Sophie, and it always will be Sophie, mm-hmm. Which I think is fine. I think it's fine. And if you remember, Mary, the quote that M. Night Shyamalan gives Kevin, you know, this is the ending that they want, they just don't know it yet.
Ooh.
Does this ring, well, does that assessment ring true to you, number one? And is it fair that the show facilitated that assessment? Or is it fair to say that the show facilitated that assessment from
this
M. Night Shyamalan?
This is what you want, you just don't know it yet?
Yeah, like, this is what the viewers want, and they just don't know it yet.
It's what I've always wanted, so I guess you would have to ask yourself that question. Well, I mean, I've been Team Sophie.
Well, what about the viewers, you know, writ large?
I don't know. There's mixed people, man. There are some longtime Princess Bride lovers out there who want Buttercup to end up with Wesley.
Yep.
Okay? We're here.
Anybody want a peanut?
As you wish. But for people like you who were out on Sophie.
I wasn't out on Sophie. I just wanted...
You were out on Sophie.
I wasn't
we
out.
We all know.
I like Sophie. I think
I know,
Sophie's great.
But you didn't want him to end up with her because you just thought it'd be too simple.
It's simple and it's relatively predictable.
For people like you, I think that any coldness you had towards this outcome melted. And you said, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, I can buy it.
Yeah.
I don't. We'll get into that. We'll get into that. We'll get into it.
Perfect.
All right. So one of the remind you guys. Oh, Mary, do you have a story, by the way?
You know what's tough is I don't really have a story about this that much.
Okay.
I you know, so much of it, whether it was wrapped around the wedding or bumping into people, you know, with exes or wondering, like, should we be together? And no, we're just friends. I mean, I've had conversations like that, mm-hmm. but I don't. It's people like Kevin and Sophie that make me mad when I'm single. I will say that. When the happily ever after, we wanted you to be together forever, people end up together.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's a high school crush. When I was single, this
that would have
made me
infuriated
so depressed.
You.
Maybe just like
I thought you were
going to
tell the. I thought you were going to tell the. I should have proposed, but I bought a truck instead.
Oh, you know,
story.
I could do that one. You're right. Yeah, okay. Okay. I mean, but it's not a happy ending for
no,
that person.
No, but it's still it's. I think it's adjacent to this.
Okay. All right. So one of my dear friends from college, whose wedding I was a bridesmaid in, had an engagement party mm-hmm. in New York City. So being that we live so close to New York, I was so thankful we could just bop on down. This is before I was dating Blake. Was I dating you?
Well, you engagement. Were dating. No. This was, it wasn't the engagement party. It was the party at.
No. He said this at the engagement party.
No, this was the party in Colorado.
No.
Yeah.
He didn't go to Colorado. This was in New York, trust me. An engagement party.
Are we thinking about the same person?
Wait, who are you talking about? I'm talking about the guy from Boston.
I don't know. I'm talking about the kid that...
How many people wanted to propose to me?
Yeah, I know. I was talking about the guy that I had to sit across from.
Yes. Okay. So I will tell you, it was New York. So we're there for the engagement party. No, you weren't there,
okay,
Blake.
Fair
so
enough.
Just get over
right,
it. You
fine,
weren't
fine,
there.
Fair.
Okay. So engagement party, New York.
How many people want to propose
Stop,
to Mary? That's
Blake.
The real question.
No. So when we're at this engagement, we're just at like a nice big bar. There's about 15, 20 of us there just toasting to our friends, really excited. And one of the groomsmen was the gentleman that I was dating prior to meeting Blake. And this groomsman, he was also the rebound from my college boyfriend. So I
yes.
had a college boyfriend. And he chose substances over me, and so goodbye, peace. And then I had a rebound.
Yes.
And it was this pretty boy who was in Boston. Mm-hmm. And he looked pretty. He was friends with all my friends. He was going to be a groomsman in the wedding. I was going to be a bridesmaid in the wedding. Fine. Like, it was just fun. You know, when you date people who are friends, it was fun. It was
yes.
easy. Great. I knew this guy was never my forever. Mm-hmm. I just knew it. I also just, I always worried he was cheating on me. I also thought that, you know, I just didn't know everything about him. Plus, he didn't appreciate my breasts. And if you are with me and you don't appreciate
breasts.
You
got to be a breast guy.
Like, what are you doing?
Yep.
What are you doing? It's like going to Disney World and never watching the freaking movies.
Gotta
get
be a
out
boob.
Of here.
Gotta be a boob
Gotta
guy.
Gotta be a boob guy if you like Mary Larson. There's plenty of people who like boobs, so move over. So eventually is what happened. But so we ended up breaking up.
Hashtag, I'm a boob guy.
And I broke up with this guy a lot. I would break up with him, and then I'd be bored, and then I'd go back, and it'd be fine. And then I started to go on Match.com. And so I would go on dates with people from Match.com, and then I'd date this guy, too. And then I'd go on dates with Match.com, date this guy, too, and then I met Blake.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew something was very special about Blake.
Oh,
so
thank you.
I broke up with this guy, and just said, like, listen, it's over, and I found someone else who treats me very well, who I'm really into, and I think, you know, it's going to work out better. Bye. So we see each other at this engagement party, and I knew it was going to be awkward because it was the first time I'd seen him really since we broke up, and it was fine. We actually, had we not dated, we would have ended up being great friends because mm-hmm. we have a lot of the same humor. And after a few drinks, he came up to me, and he said, you know, my mom told me I should have proposed to you and I shouldn't have bought my truck. I should have spent that money on a ring for you instead of buying this big truck. And I actually had our whole engagement planned out. I knew where I was going to do it, what park, the different things that I wanted. And I started to laugh. And I was like, you really thought we were going to get married? There was no way we were going to get married. I am sorry that you're having this regret right now, but like, you need to get over this dream that we were supposed to end up together.
Yeah.
I never trusted you. No, I'm sorry.
That guy.
And then, fun fact, at the actual wedding,
mm-hmm.
I was then engaged to Blake.
Yes.
And
see, I thought that this conversation took place when I was there.
No.
And it was a side conversation.
It was like a year before.
Okay.
And then at the rehearsal dinner, Blake had to sit across the table from him.
We've told this story
before. As a gentleman and I just like were friends and laughing the entire time. But then, yeah, as we go down at the wedding, I had to actually walk down the aisle with him because the groomsmen got out of order. And that's when he told me, congratulations on being engaged.
Yes.
And I said, impeccable timing.
That's when I had to alpha male that guy.
You didn't have to alpha male.
I alpha male all the ex-boyfriends.
He had his truck, okay?
Listen, for those gentlemen listening, okay, you know you got to be the alpha male, all right, when it comes to this kind of, when it comes to the stuff, when it comes to ex-boyfriends. If you agree with me, give me a high five.
What I will say.
Emoji.
Is that if you truly think, this is probably the person I'm supposed to end up with, but whatever, the timing isn't right, the money isn't right. If you truly think it's that person, life is short, okay?
Then do it.
Giddy up.
Just do it.
And just do it. Give them a friggin' ring pop, okay? Because they're going to tell you yes or no.
Or be like the Count of Monte Cristo. Give them a rope.
Yes.
A little string to tie around their finger.
And if you have been pining for someone from high school, from college, from a job, and, you know, they're single too, give them a flippin' call.
Yep. I think that's what This Is Us is arguing. Like, yes. Life is just too short.
Life is too short. If you love someone, let them know. Yeah. Let your friends know you love them. Let your parents know you love them.
Yep.
Let the person who you still pine for know you still love them, and you've got the Valentine in your pocket.
We're going to talk about that, too.
I know we are.
All right. So that's my story.
Blake is the only person who's actually proposed to me. I will say that.
Yes, but all the men and Mary's life wanted to propose to her. That's it. That's just how it works. And I know that. I know that I'm Mr. Mary Lassen. It's fine. I know. It's okay. I've accepted it. Actually, I accepted it quite a long time ago.
Oh, my God. I love you.
Oh, how do you think I convinced her to marry me? I had to accept it. That's how it goes. All right. Let's get into the episode, shall we?
We shall.
All right. All right, this episode was aptly titled The Night Before the Wedding. It was directed by Yasu Tanida, who is the long-standing cinematographer for This Is Us and basically has served as the cinematographer for almost every episode of This Is Us.
Beautiful.
Though Yasu has directed episodes of This Is Us before, including Light and Shadows, One Small Step, and obviously this episode as well. And the writer was Danielle Bowman. Danielle Bowman has kind of come up the ranks of This Is Us, serving as a story editor and staff writer, but also has written episodes The Night Before the Wedding, obviously, Both Things Can Be True, and A Hell of a Week Part 2. So she's kind of like the Kevin Whisperer, maybe, I will say.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll go there. Marvin. The
Kevin Whisperer.
Marvin, your lemonade rating. How many lemonades are you giving this episode?
Fun fact, Blake and I just found out that my grandfather's middle name is Marvin.
That's true. That is absolutely true. That was one of the great happenstances of life.
Yes. My lemonade rating for this episode is a 4.9.
4.9? That's
yeah,
a high one.
I loved this episode.
That's a high one, man.
Yep.
That's a high rating. Any particular reason why it's a 4.9, not anything less or more?
It's not more because it wasn't perfect and it didn't make me cry.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just like didn't care that much about the Valentine's Day writing stuff. I appreciate, but like whatevs. Maybe yep. I would have liked them watching The Princess Bride together. Just like one little glimpse of that. Mm-hmm. It's cute with the jacket, but like The Princess Bride was their thing.
That's
not referenced at all in this episode.
Absolutely fair. It should. Well, I mean,
he should have said an "As You Wish." If he freaking dropped an "As You Wish."
Oh, if he dropped an "As You Wish,"
or if, like, when they're at the grocery store, he picked up a bag of peanuts.
Oh,
and said, "Anybody want a peanut?" Like, why? Why do you only do marriage?
There should have been a more. Yes,
just
deep
one,
reference.
Just give me a,
give me a good
bit.
Deep reference.
Yes,
that would have been great. And she could have laughed and whatever.
Yes.
And it would have been cute. And she could have like touched him, like, oh,
yes.
You know. And that would have been more. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
That's why it's not a 5.
Okay,
because
fair
the Princess Bride lover in me just needed a little bit more.
I'm gonna give this one a 4, and it's not to say that I have a cold, cold heart.
You do. We know you actually do, so we know this about you.
And you also didn't love The Princess Bride as much as me, Kevin, and Sophie did.
No, I did. I did not. It's weird when you watch a show and the central mystery of the episode is a silly one. And
I didn't think it was silly. He actually didn't sleep with anybody.
No, I know, but it's just, it was gimmicky the way that it was, that the way that it was led up to. So I'm going to give it a 4.
Cold heart.
Because I'm going to go as high as a 4 because I enjoyed the chemistry between Kevin and Sophie.
Yep.
I think that was exceptional throughout the entire episode, but it was just super gimmicky, especially coming off of the run of episodes after Katobi and the wedding and all that stuff. Like, coming back to this kind of gimmicky thing, I don't know.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable. All right, Mary, your GBG. What do you got for your good, your bad, and your great?
Okay, so my good for this episode is that Rebecca constantly talks to Sophie in the past.
Yes.
And yet it still totally relates. And obviously this wouldn't be the reason to pick Sophie, but I kind of love that as Rebecca does lose her memories, she won't be jarred by Sophie being in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
She has a relationship with Sophie. She knows who she is. So as Sophie continues to be in Rebecca's life, no matter where Rebecca goes at the time, she knows who Sophie is. And Sophie cares for her deeply. And I just like that versus adding a new person into Rebecca's life as her memory is fading. And it might be, you know, like she almost forgot Philip's name, for example.
Yes.
So imagine her having to meet a new girlfriend of Kevin's, you know, a couple years later. And get good luck with that woman's name. So that's my great. Oh, my good is how Rebecca spoke to Sophie and how it still all kind of was true and how that is what helped push Sophie.
Sure.
My bad. Okay. So we talked about The Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of my bad.
Yes.
Shame is all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Just
anybody want a peanut? Really easy to throw in. Okay.
Shame.
It's easy. My other bad and my big time bad that gave it worse than The Princess Bride.
Really?
Worse.
Oh.
And that's saying something.
This is big.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you got?
Okay, friends. What did I tell you about my body earlier on in this episode? That if you don't like my...
If you're not a boob guy.
If you're not a boob guy, I'm not your girl. Okay. So I pay particular attention to the bubbies.
I know where you're going with this. This is great.
Lost her luggage. Okay. Went shopping with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Got the dress, which actually is pretty cool because I noticed Sophie was wearing her cowgirl boots with that beautiful green dress. And I just thought, that's a choice.
Yes.
You know, you are at a vineyard. You're kind of out west somewhere. All right. Like trendy, cute, cool. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have thought that for Sophie as a look, but now we know why, because she only had one pair of shoes.
You know what? Attention to detail.
Loved it. Sophie takes off her bra, her one bra, because she doesn't have luggage. All she picked up was like deodorant, some Herbalessence, and a green dress. You know she didn't get a used bra when she was there.
Yep.
Sophie takes off her pink bra in Kevin's room on the rehearsal dinner night, on the night before the wedding.
Yep.
That means Sophie didn't wear a bra for the rest of the weekend. Just flopping around.
Just flip-flopping.
And that viral TikTok video of them all dancing at the wedding?
Uh-huh. No bra.
No, but she does have a bra on.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I was upset. Because I was like, those things are supported. She doesn't have her nipples popping in the cold breeze. They're not doing the cha-cha slide the other way, the other direction when she's going one way because gravity's pulling them the other.
Mary loves these things that ruin your experience, like Jamie's Adam's apple in Outlander.
So watch that episode
and think about the bubbies.
But that she should not have a bra on, because I know where that bra is. Unless she like got tape or asked, I don't know.
Maybe what? she's rocking some duct tape.
You're going to go to Beth and say, hey, I know you're not wearing a normal strapped bra because you've got a goddess one-sleeved thing.
Yep.
You probably have a strapless bra. Can I go use your regular bra because I left my bra and your brother? But no.
No. And we know that she doesn't do that.
She could take one for Rebecca because she wouldn't notice. But like, no bra.
Oh, Mary, too soon.
It was my bad. Now you're not going to unsee it. You're going to notice she supported and you know she found a bra somewhere. Man. And then my great is that Kevin did grow up. I think there's a lot of, you know, when people are ranking who they like of the Pearson of the big three, oftentimes Kevin comes down low because he has had a lot of selfishness and shallowness in some ways. He is also beautiful. And I think it's easy for us as viewers to sometimes hate beautiful people.
Yeah.
And he's just a little ditzy. I mean, Rebecca calls it out. My son's an idiot, you know, like, but we have to keep into perspective the journey that Kevin has gone on. Kevin was incredibly low for a significant portion of his adult life.
Yep.
He abused alcohol, was an alcoholic. It took him a very, very long time to come to grips with that, and then went through the process of going through AA. He has taken on learning about the military and about PTSD. So Kevin has gone through this emotional mental health, you know, addiction process. And I think it sometimes gets overshadowed because of the fluffier things of him.
Sure. And also trying to live up to his dad. Like, that is still a major portion of Kevin's life. And him wanting to be like his dad,
yes,
because his dad died when he was young. And
but
like,
some might say he ended up being better than his dad.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he got to go on that road to recover. He says, all I want to do is be a great dad for my kids.
Yeah.
He brought Nikki into the family.
Yep.
He's been open about his struggles with alcoholism. I love how he has the ginger ale. Like, it may not be this big in your face thing anymore, mm-hmm, but it's a constant thread for him. And he, mm-hmm, has gone from being very, very emotionally, mentally ill and struggling and selfish in many ways to now putting his whole life about thinking of others.
I think I would argue that Kevin's storyline is the most textured storyline outside of Jack.
Agreed.
Maybe even more so than Rebecca. Maybe. I think they're 1A and 1B.
Rebecca's just the longest we get to see. So we feel like we've got a lot of meat to Rebecca. And really, I feel like Rebecca has been actually quite constant. There have been big moments and big shifts, yes, and changes, but she's actually been a very constant mother figure. Whereas Kevin has had so much complexity and so many twists and turns that I like that this episode even showed some twists and turns, because that's been, yeah, his story to his forever.
So I think this episode works on the grand scope of the series.
Yes.
As an episode unto itself, I find that it is a little lacking.
I mean, but on the flip side, we are in the final season, the, yes, final episodes, and, yes, this is the wrap to Kevin's storyline. So I think knowing that it's the final season, I don't think you should be judging episodes just by themselves. Each of these is a series finale for different characters.
Yeah, and again, like, that's why I'm saying, yes, you're right. It's a series finale for each of the characters. Like, we've already started with Katobi and the whole thing. Like, yes, that's been wrapped. And you could even argue that Philip and Kate have been wrapped for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel the momentum of these characters being wrapped. I also feel like, in a way, Randall has even been wrapped since he visited his mom. And, well,
Randall has still, I'm hoping we get another Randall episode, because I feel like the daughters have been, that whole element has not been talked about and highlighted, especially with Deja,
yeah,
and what they've gone through, and being that he was adopted and she was adopted. I still feel like there's more that I need there.
Yep.
But I agree, I don't need a lot more Randall.
Yeah, I would agree, even though you are Randall in real life. Okay, so my good. This is kind of cheesy, but, and I'm usually not a big fan of this, but for some reason, it really works. And I think it's due to the chemistry shared between Kevin and Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like all the longing that they share, mm-hmm, between each other. Like when Kevin is just staring at Sophie through the fire, whew, smoking hot. Like, literally, that's great visual storytelling right there. But, you know, just the when Kevin stops in mid-sentence and when Sophie comes in and, you know, you could sense right from the beginning that it was going to be Sophie.
Yes.
The whole, you know, and we should have been more wise to the fact that it was going to be Sophie. Yeah, you were. I would agree. But I liked all of the longing. I liked the staring at each other because that's what you do. That's what you do when you want to be with somebody and you're not really sure and you're kind of just pining after that. And it just makes it feel lived in. It makes it feel almost like they went to the actors and said, just go. Just do what you think your characters would do. You know, how they would react to each other. Yes. And allow them to be the characters in that moment and say, react. Mm-hmm. I like that feeling. The bad for me, I got a couple of bads.
Oh, of course you do. Never go against a Sicilian when death is on the line. No?
No.
You don't know what I'm saying?
No.
Because you're not even a fan.
What? A fan of what?
Of the Princess Bride. It's what he says to him when they have the poison in their hands.
Whatevs. Whatevs.
Okay, what?
It's hard for me to buy all of it, though, because, and you can make an argument that he's just being desperate, but as soon as Sophie turns him down, he goes right into the arms of Cassidy and is like, hey, do you think we should do this? And she's like, no. And then he goes to the bar and he has the conversation with the wedding singer, and then he goes back, and it's hard for me to buy it when you go from one thing to the, like, I've longed for you this entire time, and then all of a sudden, as soon as you're turned down, you're going right to Cassidy and be like, hey, let's do this. It's just hard for me to buy it.
I'm sorry that it's hard for you to buy. It was not hard for me to buy.
The other thing, too.
But you want to know why?
Why?
First off, he was horny.
Okay? That's fair.
That doesn't go away quickly.
That's fair.
Okay? He was literally just about to make love to
just
the woman he's loved
in.
His entire life.
Yes.
Bubbies were out. Bra was off. Grinding on the bed.
When the bubbies are out,
hey,
things are going to happen.
Things are going to happen that don't go away for a little while. So then in comes Cassidy. Can you please take off my dress? Are you freaking kidding?
Fair.
So yes, they're friends. But she's saying, can you please take off my dress?
Yes.
And he asks. He doesn't make a move on her.
Yeah. No.
I love that he asks.
Yes.
Because, yes, we are this close of friends that I can unzip your dress and
yes.
you change, you know, in my room. And my uncle just told me that maybe I'm supposed to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I should stop hitting on this girl who's told me a million times no.
Yeah.
Who I've broken up with. Maybe that bridge is burned and I need to stop. And maybe I've been really dumb and the perfect person is right in front of my face.
Yes.
And I'm horny right now.
To me, it undercuts it a little bit because then we have the whole, I had the Valentine that I gave you when I was like six.
Yeah.
Still. And you circled it. Yes.
But he's had that.
Hold on. When you think about it, mm-hmm. when you think about like how he's tried to commit to all these people and he's tried to, like, it's this cute thing where he pulls it out and it's like, oh, you had that the whole time. Yay. You're so lovey. Like, when you think about his relationships and how he's tried to commit to people and tried to do the right thing, but that whole entire time, he still had Sophie in his back pocket, like, literally. It's kind of hard to accept the fact that, oh, well, maybe I'm going to go with Cassidy now and or Zoe or, you know, Madison. Like, think of that, too. He kept the Sophie thing
yes.
in his wallet during the Madison thing.
So I'm going to challenge you. We yeah. talked about how Kevin actually has what we feel like is the most one of the most, if not the most complex storyline.
Sure.
What if the Valentine isn't just the Valentine, isn't just I love Sophie?
Mm-hmm.
What if it is his reminder of his alcoholism and what that ruined for him? What if it's his reminder of the life, the ways that he's messed up and how that can affect people you love? And I don't want to make that mistake again because this made such an impact in my life. What if it's a reminder of, you know, to have a bigger scope?
Fair. If that appeared earlier in seasons, but it was retconned in.
Yes.
So that retcon is what makes this a little murky for me.
But it brings it that far down? I mean, I could tell you, I didn't love the Valentine's Day thing either.
No, what, I mean, what else? You. No, but what else brings this down is that it's gimmicky. Like, the whole lead up to this episode is who's Kevin sleeping with? And they made a whole thing out of it with Beth and Madison. And it's like, it's the mystery of who Kevin was sleeping with is not as interesting as the show thinks that it is. If you're going to tell me a story of Kevin finding his love with Sophie again, do that.
But
don't make me think that he's sleeping with the wedding singer or that there's
Cassidy.
But that's
what we all do at weddings. We are all Madison and Beth making up stories about people. Ooh, what do you think's going on with them?
Yeah, but that is not an excuse for storytelling. Reality, I've said this before. I'm thinking about making it a Mary and Blake media commandment.
Oh my God, I hate your commandments though sometimes.
Reality is not an excuse for storytelling. Tell me the story that you want to tell. Don't gimmick me into thinking, oh, Kevin's sleeping with the wedding singer. Like, dude, nobody.
So you're just saying you wish you saw this Valentine in his pocket at some point throughout these past several years.
Yeah. And, okay. But the mystery of it all also is just, no, don't give me that crap. And I hate to say this. Don't give me that network TV crap. Just tell me the story.
Okay. Move on.
All right. But my great.
So negative.
My great is actually... Have Sophie having the guts to call Kevin out for being like for the Herbal Essences shampoo and saying, no, we can't just do the thing that we have done before because the result is going to be the same. You need to move forward. I need to move forward. We're different people. And that's the reason why we're even in this position to begin with, because we're different and we need to accept each other for who we are. Oh, what a special moment and such a poignant moment. And the fact that, you know, the Pearson men are known to have these big speeches. We even get a big speech from a Pearson man in this episode. And Kevin is right about to do the big Pearson speech. And Sophie says, no. It's my turn now. Yeah. Like taking that away from him and subverting that. But it's just that whole demeanor of, no, we're going to do things differently, mm-hmm. and we're not just going to fall into the same habits. Mm-hmm. So that was my great. I really, really liked that. All right, Mary, we've had a lot to say. We're already 32 minutes into this episode. Mm-hmm. Guess what?
Chicken butt.
Our listeners had even more to say. So we're going to do the same kind of format that we did a couple of episodes ago, where we got a lot of voicemails, and I want everybody to have their platform to have their voice heard. So Mary and I, we're going to forego that this is the in or out. We're going to forego the hot take. We're just going to listen to you guys, and we're going to comment back and forth on those voicemails. Are you ready, Mary?
Yep.
All right, let's play the sound first, and then we can do the voicemails.
And we said,
that's three.
Big three?
Big three!
All right, Marvin, here we go. Here's the first voicemail.
Yes.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Melissa from Boston.
Oh, boy, Melissa.
I love your podcast so much.
Your cousin from Boston.
This is so bad, and I think I'm the only person who feels this way. I would give this episode like one lemonade. And I know that it was supposed to be romantic, and I'm very biased, but I've just never liked the Sophie stuff ever.
Fair.
Even when he first showed up at her doorstep, I felt like it was very forced. And the entire relationship, I don't like learning about it, I guess, like in hindsight. And I feel like so much of it is based in the past. And when Sophie said to him in this episode, I want you to love me for me, who I am right now, I'm thinking, we haven't even seen her in like two seasons, barely. And when we have, like, she's just been sighing and, ugh, Kevin, I can't do this again. And I just don't believe it. Like, the relationship between these adults now, I don't think that it's going to end well. I mean, I think we're supposed to believe it will, but they don't even know each other anymore. I don't love it, but I know that a lot of people do. But I love you guys, and I'm going to miss your takes on This Is Us the most when the show ends.
Well, Melissa, not just because you're from Boston, but I got to say this.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
It's a fair criticism. Mary, do they even know each other for who they are right now?
Listen, man. When you're soulmates, it's okay. You know who each other is.
When you're in the soul cluster, you just know each other's soul.
I will challenge that the chemistry is obviously still there.
Yes.
The things that Sophie didn't like about Kevin, he's improved upon. The things that Sophie didn't like about herself, she's improved upon. They're not getting married right now. They're not even getting engaged right now.
Sure.
So it's okay to go slow. To learn each other, the new person. I think you're right. Her use of the word love, I want you to love the person I am now. Maybe he may not know who you are now. So maybe tweak that wording a little bit. I want you to follow, you know, I would, you know, whatever, because it's going to take him a little bit more time to learn the new things about her.
Yeah.
But
would it be better if she said, we have to understand who we are going forward? Something along those lines.
But she wanted to use the word love. She's a romantic at heart, too.
All right, let's get to the next one.
I'm okay with it.
Hey, Mary and Blake. This is Max, a longtime listener of a lot of your podcasts, but first-time caller.
Hello.
I wanted to just give some feedback on the Night Before the Wedding episode, I think it's called, the one that reveals that Kevin and Sophie are ultimately ending up together. I really disliked the way that the show has handled the Kevin and Sophie storyline. I don't buy their romance or their relationship at all, just in the context of what the show has presented us with. I think that the actors have amazing chemistry. I really like the idea of them getting together in the sense that it's really cool when childhood sweethearts end up together and it's a fun story, but they didn't really sell us on it aside from showing us Sophie threaded throughout some random flashbacks. It seems like if she hadn't shown up at the wedding, which she only did probably because of that makeup text that Kate sent her a few episodes back. If she hadn't shown up, Kevin would have just slept with like anyone that was there, including Cassidy, after Sophie turned him down. And I wish that the episode had maybe instead been a reveal that Kevin and Sophie had been dating all this time, and then we had seen like a Toby-style flashback episode where we saw them reconnect at some point after her divorce and then got together, and then we saw it slowly building up. I'm running out of time here, but I just wanted to see what you guys thought about this.
Max, I think you have a fair argument. Mm. The one thing I will say that will, I think, argue against you is this. Kevin had every single chance to sleep with the wedding singer, and he didn't. And that in and of itself shows growth. And even though that kind of flies in the face of what I said about Cassidy, Kevin totally, totally could have got it in that night. And he didn't. He chose to go another route.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, do you think that shows growth for him as a person? Because if this was 36-year-old Kevin in the hotel with the two girls that happened in the premiere, you better believe Ariel is showing up with her bubbies are going to be out too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you think?
I don't see Kevin as a slut. So I don't think Kevin would have felt the need. If Sophie wasn't there, I don't think Kevin would have slept with anyone. I think Kevin would have been sad at the wedding because he doesn't have a love.
He definitely had some sad boy vibes.
I don't see Kevin being like, I have to have sex all the time. That's not how I think.
No, but
Kevin
he could
is.
Have had the opportunity to do that.
He could have had it.
Yeah.
I mean, he can have the opportunity every flipping day. Let's be real. This is Kevin Pearson.
Good point. All right, let's get the next one.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Alex from Montreal.
Hey, Alex.
For the most recent episode, The Night Before the Wedding, my expectations were not very high. And yet, it was even worse than I thought.
Oh!
After The Guitar Man, I was sitting here thinking, this is great. Kevin is going to find fulfillment through Big Three Homes and through being a dad. And he's going to find a wife naturally when he's truly ready for it. And then we find out he's been obsessively dating an endless string of randos. Trojan Girl, State Farm Girl, for 5 years straight. In this episode, he upsets Sophie with a comment about her hair. He goes to hang out with Ariel, a total nobody, thrown in for the sake of cheap drama. Then he starts to think about making moves on Cassidy like an hour later, and Cassidy is the one who turns him down. How can you expect me, as a viewer, to be sold on Kevin and Sophie when he was just considering diving in headfirst with Cassidy literally the night before? Then Sophie is talking about how Kevin is finally the man she thought he could be. Are you out of your mind, Sophie? Have you forgotten that it was yesterday that he showed himself to be stuck in the past as it relates to you? What could he have possibly done in the past 21 hours that would make you think he has fundamentally changed? The answer is nothing. The answer is that he is still showing himself to be flailing around from person to person to person, just like he was on Valentine's Day in second grade. This relationship was not earned at all. Not to mention Randall's spiel about the Buffalo Bills was a total dud.
Yeah, that
just
sucked.
Awful. That Kevin's sucked. Romantic arc this season has been completely botched. They're saying he's changed, but they're showing me the same old hopeless romantic they've been showing me for 6 years. Sorry this was so negative, because my thoughts on the show are actually very positive most of the time.
Alex. Makes me wanna shout. Alex bringing the heat on this one. Mary. Coming from the clouds, Alex is coming here.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Okay. As someone who went through a time in life where I dated multiple people, a string of people,
mm-hmm.
I say, whatevs, man. Us extroverts, we don't like being alone. We talk to random people in a hospital.
Yeah.
We don't want to eat alone. We want to go to the movies with somebody, even though we can't talk during the movies. We want to talk to them afterwards and ask them every single thing they liked or didn't like about it.
That is also very true.
Okay. You don't need to be my love. You just need to keep me company. I don't care if you're the condom girl. I don't care if you're the State Farm girl, which, by the way, loved it. Loved the State Farm girl, because like, we see so many State Farm commercials during This Is Us. All they needed now was like, do you have itchy, dry skin, girl?
The psoriasis girl.
Yes. Imagine that. At like another night. Oh, you look so familiar. Let me show you my arm.
This is where they put the CGI psoriasis.
So I don't have a problem with the fact that he has had different girlfriends all this time. I think many people who are at this age in life and really want to find that person, they date a ton of people.
Yes, I agree. And by the way, Alex also coming from the top rope on the Randall speech at the end of the episode about the Buffalo Bills.
Did not like that.
Did not land at all. It took too long to develop. It was too out of left field.
And how does everyone not already know that fact? Does not everybody know that?
Right.
Please let us know if you didn't know it. Maybe
especially
we just know
for a football family. Like, it's like for a football family,
yes,
you know,
you flip and know that
you know that the Super Bowl losers are the clothes are just distributed to everywhere. Like, that was done again, it was done for the sake of the viewer as opposed to the character. And that's the problem with the mystery aspect of it, this relation. It's not a character driven thing, it's a plot viewer driven thing. And that is so frustrating for a show who does so well at keeping their characters, for the most part, at the forefront.
You know what would have been good if you wanted to still say that story? If you still wanted that story, which I really don't care about that story at all. It was actually, it just takes forever to develop. It took so long. I would have been okay with it if he said, you want to know something? During XYZ, do you remember the Super Bowl? Yes. Dad was telling me as they were handing out the shirts, you know, you're the Super Bowl champions, and they put on the hats. Dad told me a story about whatever. I would have been better with that, because if he said, hey, Kevin, do you remember this Super Bowl we watched? Yes, I do.
And do you know this? And do you know that?
Yeah.
And that, and like.
But if instead he said, Dad told me this and I never forgot it.
Yeah.
It would make sense to me if Kevin wasn't listening.
Yeah. If he just said, hey, Dad told me that there are kids in wherever wearing Buffalo Bills gear. Mm-hmm. They think that the Buffalo Bills won the Super Bowl 4 years in a row. That's insane. That's crazy talk.
Done.
Like, I don't know. You're right. It was not great. It was really
not great, Bob.
Out on that speech.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Kate from Illinois.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, Kate.
I thought the This Is Us episode this week was awesome. I would give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Okay.
My good this week is that my cousin actually starred on this episode as Sophie's ex-husband, Grant.
No way!
It was awesome to be able to see him on screen again.
OMG.
My bad was Cassidy. I really want her to be able to have a happy ending, and seeing her be brought on as a Who Are They? You know, I really want her to be able to have that happy ending at the end, like the Pearsons do. am I great is the Randall speech. That's such a Randall just moment, and the full circle of the Valentine really makes my heart sing, and the support that the Pearsons give Kevin and Sophie after all this time is really great to see. Thanks so much, guys, for making your podcast. I love listening to it, and bye.
Thanks, Kate. Tell your cousin, Grant, thank you for being Sophie's husband. That's great. My question to you, Mary, is twofold. Yeah. One, do you find it just a little writerly that all of a sudden Sophie is divorced from Grant after being so happy with him in the previous party, at the engagement party?
Okay, first off.
And then secondly, now that we've had the arc of Cassidy and the hashtag Who Are They, was she necessary, the character? If you delete Cassidy from the show, does anything change?
Yes.
What?
I think she was part of... What I liked is she bridged two important parts of Kevin's storyline.
Okay, what's that?
The alcoholism and the military.
All right,
and I think
enough.
That Cassidy was able to give a face that is Kevin's age to those same issues, gotcha, rather than just old crotchety Nikki.
Or the ghost of Jack.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I really do like Cassidy. I'm happy that Kevin had a female friend. I think because we've always seen him dating so many people, I'm glad that she was his constant. And that's what I see. Cassidy, I like alliteration. Cassidy is the constant.
Okay.
And to that regard, I don't think Cassidy was robbed of a happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is a hopeless romantic like Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs for them to feel complete, a life partner. I think Cassidy has an amazing relationship with her son, a better relationship with her ex. And to what I have been able to see is that her relationships with Kevin and with Nikki and now this job are giving her so much fulfillment. Maybe she dates, maybe she finds love, but that hasn't been one of the pillars of Cassidy's personality.
Yes.
And there are many people who will say, if I find somebody, great, but that is not one of my main goals.
Yeah, you know, I think that you're making a great point, Mary. It's not about that Cassidy has to find somebody who loves her. It's, am I happy with who I am?
Yes.
And the way that the character is left after she tells Kevin, I'm not your person, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're still joking about work, and that is giving her fulfillment as a person, and that is special. I can buy that. I can absolutely buy that as the happy ending.
I mean, I look at my mom, and she's divorced, and she has said many times, "Yeah, if I found somebody, and it really was a great fit, then great." But on the flip side, dating sometimes sucks. A lot of people annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just want to eat popcorn for dinner, and I don't want someone saying they want steak. You know, like there's some benefits of being single.
Does the inclusion of the romantic side of the stuff with Kevin and Cassidy undercut the Sophie side of it, or does it prop it up?
I think that they each stand on their own.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's get the next one.
Hi Mary and Blake, this is Faye from Norway.
Hi Faye.
My message this time would be a bit of a This Is Me Too or a story time with Faye.
Okay.
The thing is that my grandfather had Alzheimer's. So This Is Us has been hitting close to home for a while now. The scene of the wedding photo where Rebecca called Kevin Jack and Randall corrected her and she got really upset.
Oh, yeah.
I lived that. I witnessed my father realize that my grandfather was talking to him, about my father. And then my father corrected him and said, you know, like, Dad, it's me. I'm your son. And my grandfather just got so upset and so confused. It was awful. I will never forget that. But the other thing is, my other grandfather had Parkinson's. And he shook so bad that it got to a point where he couldn't move at all. He became a prisoner of his own body. He was always extremely aware, you know, very sharp. He was mentally always there, but he couldn't move and he couldn't talk. So as hard as it was to see my Alzheimer's grandfather lose us and later lose himself, it was also really hard to see my other grandfather never lose himself. Mm-hmm. It would have been a relief for him to forget a little bit. Of course, I don't know if that's what's happening to Miguel or even if he will get as bad as my grandfather did. But right now, I feel for him. I feel for Miguel. Mm-hmm. So I'm dreading the Miguel episode a little bit.
Yeah, I hear you. And again, Mary, I think we've talked about this almost probably ad nauseum. You know, This Is Us isn't afraid of tackling these big issues and issues that you don't often find in current the current television landscape, mm-hmm. Especially on network TV, right? So for the show to be as gimmicky as it has been with certain network things, the fact of the matter is that it's also tackling these things that just are more large than your typical Chicago PD, you know, like crap that you're going to get.
Well, and these are things not only that television don't often touch upon, but that we as a society do not discuss enough. I think that there's many societies, that they live with their elders. They live with a different generation in the home and care for them. And everyone is very well aware of ailments or issues that people are having. And so it's talked about in kind of those family communities. But I think currently from what I can see here in America that we have, people don't just come on out and normalize what it's like to have ailing older family members. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, well, you know, if they're like a best friend, you know, you don't want people just, you know, venting on Facebook necessarily. But I just don't think that the tough things are talked about a lot. Maybe it makes us sadder. Maybe people don't know how to react if they haven't gone through it themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like miscarriage. But that's why I love that This Is Us does this.
Yep, absolutely.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Michelle from South Jersey.
Hi, Michelle.
I am calling about the This Is Us episode, The Night Before the Wedding. All I can say is, yay, it's Sophie. I'm giving this a big old 5.
All right.
I was hoping for Sophie and Kevin for so long. My husband and I are childhood sweethearts. We were always off and on, and my husband was always the one clinging for me, which I'm so happy he waited for me. So I was definitely the Kevin in these scenarios. My good is Sophie telling him how she's always carried Kevin with her. Man, I can relate to that. I always would think about my now husband when I was with others. And then Kevin carrying the Valentine. Oh, man, bring on the Charmin. My bad was the wedding singer. I get the point. He didn't jump on some woman's bones. Plus, it was to throw viewers off, but I hated it. My great Rebecca. Man, yes. That woman is always coming in clutch.
Yes.
Even though she wasn't all there in her mind, those words were all that Sophie needed. I love that woman so much. This episode gave me all the feels. It felt like I was watching my own life be put on television. It brought many, many tears to my eyes. I love listening to you guys. I'm so sad this show is ending. Bye.
Well, Michelle, you get a chance to listen to us more when we have all the different podcasts that we have going on at Mary and Blake Media. I will say, Mary, that there's a great parallel that Michelle did not mention. If you can recall, Rebecca does have that line to Sophie where it's like, Kevin's going to figure it out. Don't worry about it. Maybe it's not now, but it will, and he will, and it'll be all fine. And it's such a great moment. But it also calls back to the moment that Sophie's mother discusses with Kevin about the ring that he wanted to give to Sophie for the engagement. And she says to Kevin, listen, kiddo, like, I want to give you this ring, but I can't because you're just too young. You got a lot of things going on.
Yes.
You got a lot of great things that are going to happen to you, but you just don't have the experience yet. And I can't give it to you yet. That's a special moment when you go back to the whole Sophie of it all, and how much growth Kevin has made. Would you think that is fair as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very fair. Fair enough.
Hi, guys. It's your favorite cousin from Boston.
Your cousin from Boston.
I give this episode 4 lemonades, only because I'll be grieving Team Cassidy for a while.
Oh, that's right.
I'm pouting about it. Yes. Yes, I am. My good was the napkin poetry. I'm a total sucker for great lyrics written on a napkin. My bad was that Kevin had that very old Valentine this whole time in his wallet, even while with other women he supposedly really cared about. I mean, come on, Kevin. Yes, wicked romantic, but did you ever care about all those chicks he slept with? And my great was confused Rebecca talking to Sophie at the end about how her son is an idiot, but someday he's going to be so great. Gotta love my girl Cassidy for keeping things real with Kevin. I am glad that they're best friends, but her use of the word vapid, honestly, I had to look that one up, and then I laughed hysterically. That's it. Hope you can tell who this is. Love ya. Bye.
She's not wrong. Tell you that. Kevin is certainly vapid in some instances of his life, and so are the women that he has brought in and out of his life in many instances. So, Gloria, you and I, same page, girlfriend, as always. That's why you're my cousin from Boston.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Isabella from Brazil.
Hi, Isabella.
Calling for This Is Us 2. I'm happy with the Kevin and Sophie ending. I think that this show has pointed us towards this for a long time. They love a full circle moment, so it makes sense. I can't help but feel How I Met Your Mother vibes for this ending, and I have been feeling this way for a long time. I think Kevin's story is a lot, and that How I Met Your Mother ending vibe. So I was predicting this. Mm-hmm. I think that that Kevin and Sophie have this little, their whole interaction is really believable for first romances. They have this this like innocence towards their relationship and interaction, in the sense that when they're together, it's like it's everything's brand new. It's like they didn't really have previous relationships. So I really like that. I didn't like the wedding singer thing. I didn't like the Valentine's card thing. I think we didn't need that. But other than that, I really liked it. And I loved the Rebecca part. You know, my son is stupid and everything. Really liked it.
Yeah, Mary, you know, this show does love itself some good sentimentality. It does love itself a good full circle moment, mm-hmm. which is why I think we have the Valentine's Day card coming out of the wallet moment. But I think it's pretty universal. Everybody hated this wedding singer inclusion.
Why do we hate her?
Well, no. I don't think we hate her as a person, because I don't think she does anything that's worthy of hating. But the inclusion of the character is hateable.
Why?
Because it doesn't do anything other than just create, I mean, in air quotes, drama, for the sake of creating air quotes drama.
Okay, so when you're a single person at a wedding and everyone there is like in their late 30s, 40s, mm-hmm. there's not tons of single people. You're going to get sized up, hit on, check you out.
Fair.
So I don't think it's bad to include the fact that most likely, if you're a single person at a wedding in that age demo, that most likely you will interact with the other single people. There's literally two single guys at the wedding, Oliver and Kevin. And the wedding singer doesn't like bang on his door saying, can we please hook up? She's sitting at the bar doing what she does.
Well,
no,
that's why I'm saying what she does isn't hateable. No. It's the inclusion of the storyline, the character, the way that they built it up. They put her in the commercial for this being like, who's it going to be?
Because Kevin does usually get together with these kind of people. She's the State Farm girl. She's the condom girl.
I think it would have been more believable if it just showed up, as opposed to it being a choice of three people.
But we hate all of the upcoming next week trailers. We hate them all. Remember, when they had Kevin's wallet open? You can't judge this show and be upset and give low grades because of the stupid trailer people.
Yeah, but they also...
In a world where Kevin...
But they also built it up. They also built it up too in the previous episode where he's looking at the wedding singer and Kevin and Randall goes up to Kevin. Hey, is this a good story? I don't know yet. And he's like longingly looking at the wedding singer. I don't know. I just, it's
hate
gimmicky.
Is gonna hate.
Hate is going to hate. That's I'll say you. That.
Hi, it's Isabella again. I just wanted to add that I didn't like the Valentine card because I think it was overkill. You know, too much. It's like when you're making, I don't know, a dessert and you add things that are separately great, but when you add them together, it's just too much. They're too sweet. I think they passed that point of good and entered the too sweet realm. I think that it was just overkill, basically. You know, I think that it doesn't make sense story-wise because Kevin lost his wallet. So just adding that.
Oh, that's right. Did he ever get the wallet back?
When did he lose his wallet?
When he drops the wallet, when he saves the guy from the car accident.
Yeah.
Does he ever get the wallet back?
Of course.
How do you know? We never saw him get the wallet back.
You know that guy mailed it to him. He saved that guy's life. They go to someone like picked up all the wreckage. When you have a car accident, they don't just like take it all and throw it. Yeah. And the ambulance or police officers would have seen a wallet and his address is in it. So they would have just mailed it to him.
Good point. Good point. Fair enough.
Sorry. There's Gryffindors out in this world who will pick up a wallet and mail it to you.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I kind of agree about the too sweet thing. That's how I feel about Black Forest cake. Like,
when do you eat that?
Well, that's the thing. I don't because it's too much. The jelly and the cherries and the chocolate frosting and the dark chocolate frosting and the whole thing. Too much. Too much. That's how I feel about the Valentine thing. Too much. I don't know.
Hey, Mary and Blake, it's Molly from Texas.
Hey, Molly.
I hope you're doing okay with that long COVID.
Thank you.
Okay. The night before the wedding, I give it 4.7 lemonades.
Okay.
So wanted to give it a 5, but a few things.
Okay.
The good. Cassidy's speech. For all the Cassidy, Team Cassidy people in the back, she is not his person. She even said it verbatim.
Yep.
I'm not your person. You are not mine. We're best friends and you're my boss. Clearly not meant to be.
Agreed.
That was the good. The bad. Any of the scenes with the wedding singer. It was, you know, I mean, prime real estate. Every minute counts. And I felt like the wedding singer fluff just didn't really need to be there. And the show would have been exactly the same if she was completely omitted. The great. Rebecca's advice to Sophie. It just worked. Even with her dementia. It tracked and it carried.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that Sophie was so sweet to her and just rolled with her time lapses and her not knowing, thinking everybody's 20. Sophie and Kevin are 20.
Mm-hmm.
I love that she was so gracious about it. Okay, so 3 tidbits that I wanted to point out this episode.
Okay.
As someone who's a nurse, that line, I heard from a friend about this travel nursing gig. Was completely inauthentic. If someone who is like myself a nurse, travel nursing has turned the culture of nursing upside down.
Mm-hmm.
You don't not know about it. So that seemed a little inauthentic. Okay. My next point is at the end when Sophie and Kevin are kissing and then their faces separate and you see the entire family clapping and applause. And then front and center, you see Nikki and Franny clapping. And they're looking off to the side. And I'm just thinking, they're 5 years old. And they're watching their dad kiss a woman that they've likely never met.
Good point.
Don't know Sophie, right? So it just seems very TV or kind of showy that they would have these little five-year-old kids clapping. And I've watched it twice. I still feel the same way. Okay. And Mary and Blake, I love you guys. I've never seen an episode of what you call it, Outlander or Bridgerton. I want to keep listening to you guys. So I think I'm going to watch an episode just so I can keep you guys around. Okay. And then before this series ends, I want to talk about the car episode with Madison. Everybody has their babies and their postpartum and they go home in the car. And Madison goes home wearing a brown turtleneck. And I've just like have not forgotten about that since the episode aired. As someone who works neonatal ICU, I've seen women in various stages of dress. I've never seen a woman go home from the hospital or be at the hospital wearing a turtleneck. Most women, no judgment, they are usually breastfeeding, so they're wearing something scoop neck, V-neck, or sweats. They're not wearing jeans.
I will argue that from what I can recall, I don't think Madison has said that she's been breastfeeding. Is she?
I don't know, but here's another thing. The breastfeeding aside.
Because one of the things that I will say is that because she has twins and
that would
because
be a lot.
Yeah.
That would be a lot. But even that aside.
But people do all the time.
Would you be coming home after giving birth in a turtleneck?
No.
I don't think you
but
would.
But like, Madison is fancy. She has like fancy hangout clothes. She's got the robes.
The fancy Madison robes.
Maybe she has like a mole she was nervous about or something. But I agree.
Mary, what did you think about the whole when they kiss and they pull back and the whole family's watching them? And
I would have clapped in real life.
I would not have.
You know I would have.
Not my chin, not
my problem. I would have started the
clap. Oh, totally. And it would have been a slow clap too.
Yes.
You know, just the...
and I love Rebecca clapping. She's like, what the hell's going
on? What's going on? Okay, I'll clap
okay, they're
too.
Smiling. They're Yay. Kissing. They always kiss. They're married. The kids. Okay.
That's a fair argument.
If the kids are as hopeless romantics as their dads, mm-hmm. they've probably been asking him ever since Madison got engaged, Daddy, when are you going to get married? Daddy, why don't you have a fiance? Daddy, when are you going to find love? All I can picture is our little lass. Like, God forbid, Blake, you die. Mm-hmm. You know that our little lass, if I were to ever find but somebody, even if she didn't see the person, if that person looked normal... Okay, because let's be real. Sophie's a beautiful looking thing. She's not like a creepy witch with like teeth hanging out, you know? If I found somebody and kissed, I think our daughter would be like, oh my gosh, it happened.
Yay, mama.
Yeah. Because they just had Madison get married and have a new baby.
Yep.
So they know about weddings. They know about all this stuff.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Lisa from Montana. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Hello. So excited to be talking to you right now. I'm calling about the latest episode of This Is Us, and I am going to give it 5+ lemonades. I don't normally do that, but this one warranted it. Also, I couldn't come up with a bad, so I had to go 5+. Oh, gosh, my good. Everything Uncle Nicky. Everything he says is just gold. I love him so much. The ice story and how they kept cutting him off, you know, the balls. It's just, he's so great. I love him so much. My great. Randall and everybody cheering when Kevin and Sophie finally kissed. I think they spoke for all of us. Now, I have been Team Cassidy all along, but even I cannot deny that Kevin and Sophie need to be together. They're just amazing. Mm-hmm. I also have a tie for great is that Valentine that Kevin's had in his wallet for how many years? Oh my goodness. How sweet is that? Okay. And my best, Randall's Buffalo Bills story. That was Randall's best advice to date. That was absolutely amazing. And Randall, I mean, he's known for a good story, but this was a good one. And the way he ended it with the world is friggin' insane. That, yes, exactly. It was great. Exactly what Kevin needed to hear. This is a great episode. I think this season has just been absolutely phenomenal. I hope you guys are doing better. I hope that...
Oh, well, thank you, Lisa. Aww. It looked like she got cut off there at the end. I appreciate the warm words. I actually agree with Lisa in that the sentiment of what Randall says is right on point. Just be like, the world is insane. Things are banana land. So if you get together with Sophie... go do it because the world is banana land and we're all just walking around in bananas like that. That's what it comes down to. I love the sentiment, the execution, and not necessarily from Sterling K. Brown, but from the writing aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I thought the execution was lacking.
I just love that listeners get to call in and completely say things that
absolutely
I love it. So know that if we ever disagree with you, we're not like you're wrong.
No, it's just this is art, and everybody has a a different interpretation of mm-hmm. art. And that is the beautiful part of this. And again, this is the reason why Mary and I make podcasts, because yes, like we have opinions and we're nerds that have microphones in front of our faces, mm-hmm. but it's you, all of you, the royal you, if you will, you have a platform too. And that's yes. what we're here to try to facilitate. And your opinions are just as important, if not more important, than Mary and I's. Mm-hmm. So you're welcome, world.
You're welcome.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Julie from Brookville, Connecticut.
Hey, Julie.
Blake, please be kind to my state. It's a beautiful state.
State sucks.
I'm calling about The Night Before the Wedding. I give this episode 4.8 lemonades. I loved it. My good. I loved Uncle Nicky talking about his dipsy doodle and the TMI ice game sharing thing he had going on for poor Kevin and Cassidy. That was just so funny and provided much needed love. Over the top British dude, Oliver, he was sort of an annoying caricature. Maybe every wedding or every party has one, but it just sort of stood in stark contrast to the superb acting that is the rest of This Is Us. Mm-hmm. And my great was the classic This Is Us bookends. Cute little Kevin in the beginning of the show writing Valentine's Day cards and smiling so adorably at all the little girls in kindergarten. And then in walks Sophie. He smiles, big, big smile, writes her a card. And then fast forward 40 years after they spent life together and apart and come back together and they're discussing all the important heavy stuff, and he pulls that card out. It's all aged and crumpled, and he says to Sophie how he's always carried her with him. It was a real mic drop, mush out moment. So that's it. Thanks for all you do. Mary, feel better.
Thank you.
You know what? I just want to say, Julie, you're cute.
Your voice is just so sweet.
It's just so sweet. I mean, your state still sucks, but no. I mean, you call anytime. Anytime. I'm here for it. I'm still going to make fun of you, Steve.
You're so rude.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Precious.
Hello.
Calling from Baltimore, Maryland. This is my first time calling.
Yay.
And right. I really, really love your show.
Oh, aww. Thank you.
So this is for the Nights Before the Wedding, the Kevin-centric episode. I really love this episode. My score is a 4.86. So my good, I love watching Kevin as a dad. I think that is really, really awesome, especially since he didn't know he was going to have kids. It wasn't planned. Mm-hmm. And then seeing him grow into a dad was really, really great. Although also his career and his life, honestly, like I wish that they showed a little bit of the nonprofit, but I get it. We don't have a lot of time for that. So then my bad. Okay. Here's the thing. I understand we all have mementos from our past relationships, but I don't understand keeping it in your wallet, because he's been with relationships with Zoe and Madison, which two people who he loved, you know, he was in love with Zoe. So having that in his wallet was kind of weird. If it wasn't like his mother's attic, that is different. But I just think it's weird. My great was I love the book ending of him and Sophie and how they ended up together, and Sophie and Rebecca talking. I thought that was really, really great. Reminded me of my own relationship. What are you guys' thoughts? I loved it. Can't wait to hear it. All right. Bye.
Well, thank you, Precious. Precious, I agree with you, by the way, that keeping the thing in his wallet undercuts how do I want to say this?
The depth of how he felt about the other women. Yes. Never compared to Sophie.
However, Mary.
What?
What do I keep in my wallet? Because the idea of him keeping something in his wallet to me, well,
it means a lot to you. So Blake and I are, was it our third date?
Second date.
No, I thought second we went to go to the movies.
Nope, that was our third date.
Oh, okay. So our second date, Blake took me to go to a Red Sox game. And there was a mess. I think we've said it on This Is Us too before. Like Blake forgot his tickets or the wallet or something. And we like went halfway into Boston, had to turn around and go get back. This is, of course, all our second date. but he had gotten the Green Monster seats. And if you don't know about the Green Monster seats, they're very special, very hard to come by.
Especially at the time, too, because they were brand new.
Yes.
And
they were very expensive.
And that was a very important date for Blake. And that's why he wanted it to be so big, as he was asking me to be his girlfriend.
That's true.
But it was during the same time that I told him, just so you know, like, I don't expect this kind of a date. I'm a pizza, mm-hmm. hangout, Netflix, back when you had to mail them.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that so sweet? kind of girl. So, but yeah, Blake asked me if I would be his girlfriend, and I said yes. And he kept that ticket from the Red Sox game ever since.
In my wallet.
Yes.
And it's never left. Since 2007, it stayed in my, through multiple wallets, mm-hmm. by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It stayed with me on my person at all times.
Yep.
Because I never, ever, ever, ever want to forget that day.
And how much condiments I put on my hot dog.
So many condiments.
I thought we were going to like dinner. And I was thinking like, oh, maybe it would be like an Italian dinner. So I didn't eat.
We're going to a ball game.
You don't tell me we were going to a ball game. You said it was a surprise.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
Yes.
Good point.
And then it took us even longer because you forgot the stuff. So we had to go back and forth. And when I'm hungry, I'm hungry. That's why my nickname is Marvin, because I'm starving Marvin.
Yep.
And then by the time we get there, I'm like, oh, geez, Louise, you can't even really get real food in here. You know, like, where's my multi-courses? I'm a hobbit. So when Blake asked me if I wanted a hot dog.
I didn't have 11sies.
Yeah. When he asked me if I wanted a hot dog. I don't even like all the condiments that they have.
I'm like, but what, you want something on it? Yeah.
That it would fill me up
everything.
More. So I just said, everything. Think about that. Like, we were on a date, and here I am with pickle onion breath, like pickles and onions, and Lord knows what else
ketchup,
he put on it.
Mustard.
All of it.
All of it. I was like, wow, this girl loves hot dogs.
No, I don't.
And you ate all my peanuts.
Yep.
And just hungry. You want to know a fun little detail about that date that I'm not sure if I've ever told you about?
Oh, I don't know if I want to know, but sure.
Well, no, I think I might have told you about it, is that I bought you a jersey. So that you could wear. And I bought, and I remember asking you, hey, who do you like on the Red Sox?
Oh, yeah.
And you had no clue, but you gave me an answer because your friends told you to tell me David Ortiz.
Yep. And truth be told, he would have been my favorite.
Yes, he would have been. He would have been until Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah.
Because his mother is a rug maker. All right, we got the last voicemail. You ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Olivia from Toronto.
Hi, Olivia.
Long-time listener. This is my first time calling in. Love the show, by the way.
All right.
I have a lot to say, so I'll probably have to record a second one.
Fair enough.
I just had to say, for me, this episode, 5 out of 5 lemonades. I loved it so much. I thought it was beautiful, perfect, chef's kiss, immaculate. It just made me feel so, like, warm and happy on the inside. Like,
aww.
It was so cute. Like, obviously, this show tries to stay away from cliches and tropes, and it always wants to divert expectations and all that sort of stuff. So personally, I found it really refreshing to see them just kind of go for it, the tropes and cliches, and embrace it. And like I want the cringe factor. I want the cheesiness. When everyone was like clapping, I was clapping along with them.
Me too.
I was like, yes, like finally. We got the childhood sweethearts trope, and then we got the It's Always Been You trope, which is one of my personal favorites.
Mm.
And with that, I love that it was like Sophie who made the active decision to like leave her marriage, and not just something that like stumbled into place, because mm-hmm. in my fictional, hopeless, romantic mind, that just goes to show like how deep her love for Kevin is. And throughout this entire show, we saw how deep his love for Sophie has been. And this episode just kind of proved it even further with the full circle moment of the Valentine card in this episode, and bringing his character arc full circle as well. Like, it was just so cute. Like, it's Olivia again. Just wanted to continue. So obviously this show is one that's quite heavy and sad, especially right now. So I love that there was like this truly happy romantic ending for Kevin, which is like paid off 6 seasons worth of buildup. Like,
mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, it's one of the best slow burns I've seen in a very long time. I loved it. Like, their development, it was subtler and implicit compared to like other dynamics on the show. But it was just like so beautifully written, so like so symbolic, so narratively like thought through. I loved it. It was very thoughtful. Like, for example, the door in this room, 405, was the episode Storybook Love, where we like,
aww.
It's after Kevin and Sophie get married, and the Princess Bride is important in that. And then Princess Bride is also important in this, and it's been a through line in their entire relationship throughout the show. So I love that. And as a fan, I personally just feel so validated because for years I've been like looked down upon and doubted in how I interpreted the story. And just to kind of know I was right is just, it's so satisfying. And also shout out to the actors, Alexandra and Justin. They just have great chemistry. Like just their like glances, like speak so much, like they're so good. And then also shout out to Randall this episode for being like the number one Kofi fan. Like, So good. Anyways, thanks. I could talk forever about this, but I'll leave it at that for now. Yay. Bye.
Well, Olivia, you brought the heat on this call, and I appreciate that.
I think she and I just became best friends.
You totally are besties now. So, you know, we had the opposite of Alex, who was like way down. That's how we kind of started this whole process. And now we're gonna leave off on a positive note. And with Olivia bringing all the greatness,
yes,
and all the fun and yes, all the love, I'm happy with how
she
this
clapped
trended.
Along with me.
I'm happy how this trended.
Me too.
Mary, question for you, though, that this kind of brought to my attention. She mentioned Alexander Breckenridge's chemistry with Justin Hartley. Mm-hmm. Who's got better chemistry? Alexander Breckenridge with This Is Us, ooh, or Alexander Breckenridge with Virgin River?
Oh.
Who's better?
Well, here's the tough thing.
Okay.
We don't have the intimacy scenes that Virgin River has. Like if I could paired apples to apples,
then or bubbies to bubbies.
Or bubbies to bubbies.
We're comparing bubbies to bubbies.
It's her bone bubbies in both of them.
I know. I'm just saying.
So it's hard. And then I'm like, then I think I also get altered because I think which person would I want more? Would mm-hmm. I want Kevin Pearson or Jack from Virgin River? And in my mind, Sophie is
Virgin
River. It's Virgin River. Like,
yeah,
like that's where she's been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, things didn't work out romantically there. So now she came back.
Yes.
Because she's a nurse in both.
Good point. I mean, you know what? That's my headcanon. I'll take it.
Thank you.
I'll take that.
You're just going to be really confused with Virgin River season 3, I guess.
Just Virgin River is just not a great show.
I love it.
I don't care.
Don't hate on it. I want to live there.
Whenever you have a character's name that's named Doc and it's not ironic.
There's a food truck that sells pies. Back off.
So bad. Such a bad show.
Just stop, like.
Such a bad show.
And yet, if I watched it, you would become addicted like you did to the Gilmore Girls.
No, I would not. Okay. I did watch that episode and I was out. I was out. When they had to discover the lady collapsed in her house or whatever it was, they couldn't get in. Doc, you gotta get here. Like, such a bad show.
Stan, This Is Us.
Oh, that's it. That's the end. Oh. That's all we got.
Okay.
We're done. All right. You ready to close this bad boy out?
I am.
All right. Let's do it.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to this episode. I can't believe this show is wrapping up soon. It breaks my little heart.
I know. Oh,
especially because they're just hitting us on all levels. But as Blake said earlier, we will still be podcasting. After This Is Us wraps up, we're jumping back into
The Last Kingdom.
Yes. And the Potterverse comes back. And Bridgerton is starting up very, very soon. So please make sure to follow us by searching Mary and Blake on Instagram or Facebook or any of the other social medias.
YouTube.
You can also go to maryandblake.com if you'd like to visually see all that we have to offer. And of course, know that we will be podcasting about the new Game of Thrones show. So just hold on tight.
House of the Dragon. Trailer just dropped last night.
I know. That's why I said it.
So excited.
My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
This is Us Too.